You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Like that dude just said, yes, indeed, we are solid, conservative, and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. So right now we're going to go to the phones and bring on Congressman Mo Brooks. Congressman Brooks represents the state of Alabama currently in Congressional District 5 up here in the North Alabama area, and has been there since, I believe, 2011, is now running for the U.S. Senate, running a statewide race, which is like that's some exhausting work right there. Congressman Brooks, how are you doing today?
Doing great. How about yourself?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. Thanks for asking. It's Friday. That's always good, which I guess this means that means tomorrow's a campaign day for you.
Grandson's baseball game.
Oh, that's outstanding. Well, I hate to take your time away from that, but I know when you're campaigning, too, that Friday just means that tomorrow is a campaign day. So you got, what, 34 days, something like that, till the primary? Is that right?
32.
Okay. Exactly. Name the hours and minutes. I'm sure you could. Listen, Congressman, there have been several things happening, but I saw you in the news most recently. You've co-sponsored a bill in Congress. I think it's Congressman Massey's bill from Kentucky to abolish the Department of Education, and that caught my attention. Your thoughts on that? Because I think Rick Perry said the same thing back in the day when he ran for president, but what's your thoughts on that?
Well, there are multiple reasons why I believe we ought to do that. First, K through 12 is best within the confines of your city, county, and state governments. We don't need a one-size-fits-all feet approach from the federal government, so I don't believe in any mandates from the federal government on K through 12 education, for one thing, if nothing else. How hard is it for a parent to get a hold of a city councilman or a mayor or a board of education member or a superintendent? Compare how hard that is to meeting with a congressman or a U.S. senator or a president. So parents ought to have more control over schools, and the more local it is, then the greater the ability the parents have to be able to influence the public policy that controls the education of their children. There's very little more important than the education of one's child. In addition, we've got a $30 trillion debt. Over the last 3 years, we've had $7+ trillion worth of deficits. We're going in the wrong direction. And as a consequence, we've got to start thinking of things that we should cut, and certainly the bureaucracy in the Department of Education is a big one. Let me emphasize that we're talking about cutting the bureaucracy part that creates the mandates. To the extent that the federal government still wants to assist with K through 12 education monetarily, well, one person over in the Treasury Department could spend one day writing 50 different checks to 50 different states to distribute according to whatever formula it is that Congress should decide on as an alternative. So all in all, I thank Congressman Thomas Massey for drafting and introducing that bill, and I'm pleased to have co-sponsored it. It's a position I've held for about 11 years. So this is consistent with what I've been doing as a United States congressman.
Well, and I think that would be one of those magic moments if we could ever see that happen. And it's certainly not going to happen unless Republicans can take back a majority, potentially a supermajority at that point. I think that also goes straight to the question of the 10th Amendment, devolving things to the state that are not otherwise reserved to the federal government. I think you have to have that 10th Amendment constantly in front, and the federal government loses sight of that more often than not.
Well, I am a firm believer in the 10th Amendment. My position is the same on K through 12 education. It's the same thing on legalization of drugs like marijuana. That ought to be an issue best decided by states. That's what the 10th Amendment is all about. The federal government's role is to interact on an international basis. It's to provide our national security. It's not to meddle into every single aspect of our lives, but unfortunately, over the decades, particularly the last half century or so of them, that's exactly what the federal government has begun doing.
Well, Congressman, let me switch gears on you. There was a question or actually a statement made by you more recently. I want to say this a couple of weeks ago, maybe more. And I've not heard the other campaigns say this, but there's conservatives by and large are tired of Mitch McConnell. I specifically remember when Governor Bentley was working to appoint somebody to replace our own former U.S. Senator Sessions, And McConnell had apparently asked him not to send anybody that was a Freedom Caucus type. I was in the room when he told me that. But the reality is McConnell is not seen as a conservative. You're the only one of the three candidates I know of right now who has said you would challenge him for leadership and seek to have somebody else lead the majority in the U.S. Senate. Is that still your position?
Absolutely. Mitch McConnell has the worst favorable-unfavorable ratio of anyone I know of in the United States Congress in Washington, D.C. And if nothing else, we need a better message carrier. Gosh, when you're 30 points underwater or 35 points underwater, but I mean, where your unfavorable ratings for the American people is 30 to 35 points worse than your favorable ratings, then there are a lot of Americans that discount our message just because of the message carrier. So we need to have a better message carrier that the public has greater respect for. To put it into perspective, Joe Biden's popularity is, of course, publicized as not being very good. Well, his unfavorable ratio is three times better than Mitch McConnell's. So we have to get a better leader than what we have in Mitch McConnell if we're going to be able to communicate as best we can with the American people. Quite frankly, I believe we can do better and we should.
Well, and so I don't know how we could ask you to elaborate on that because you were pretty succinct on it. But that being said, the other two campaigns I don't think have commented in any regard as to McConnell, have they?
Not to my knowledge, but that's not surprising. Both of them have establishment links. Both of them are getting a ton of money from more liberal groups than I am. And both of them are more business as usual than I am.
Well, speaking of both of them, so we recently had a straw poll at the Eagle Forum, and I just described a minute ago to my listeners what a straw poll is. It's basically when a group conducts an internal review and they sort of take an informal vote. But the Eagle Forum, which is, you know, largely seen as a very conservative organization, their Alabama groups had a straw poll most recently, which I believe you won the straw poll at Eagle Forum. What are you sensing on the campaign trail? Because 32 days left, that's still a lifetime in politics, but my sense is things are running, you know, like a pretty good horse race at the very least between you and Katie Britt.
Well, let me be clear about this. This was not an Eagle Forum meeting that was limited to Eagle Forum members. Rather, it was an Eagle Forum-sponsored candidate fair where the general public was invited. And each member of the public who walked through the door was given a ballot to the extent they wanted to share their opinion on who they like or dislike for the various offices. And so I was very, very pleased that we doubled up on Katie Britt at 51% to 25% with Mike Durant in third at around 13 or 14%. And what that's telling me is pretty consistent with what I'm seeing just about everywhere. If the smarter voters, the ones who are thinking about what's going on, who have done their own homework, who are not relying on the negative attack ads or self-glorification ads, they're figuring out who the real conservative is, and overwhelmingly, they're preferring Mo Brooks over the other candidates. You know, I'm the only one with a track record. A lot of people under these circumstances, they do not want to just gamble, roll the dice on someone possibly being a conservative when you've got the real deal based on a voting record that none of the other candidates have. So I'm very encouraged with the direction that we're going. Of course, Katie Britt's team has helped us somewhat by attacking Mike Durant, as she has, on the Second Amendment right to bear arms, on his position on importing both blue-collar and white-collar workers with the express intent of suppressing wages of blue-collar and white-collar workers. Now, here in the Tennessee Valley, we have a lot of defense contractors, and they have a lot of engineers. And to think that you've got someone from Huntsville, Madison County, that wants to import engineers from India, China, and other places around the globe who would displace American workers who've gotten their engineering degrees from UAH or Auburn or Alabama, that's not going to fly well. But nonetheless, according to the video of Mike Durant saying it, and it's about a month old, that's exactly what he wants to do. I don't want to go there. I want to protect American jobs for American workers and help struggling American families. I want our middle class to do well. I don't want just the rich to do well.
Well, okay, so let me ask you that. You make a point about something that that Mike Durant said in the video, and it's kind of hard to get away when it's a video. I mean, it apparently was said. And I think it was said in a like an internal, some kind of a speaking to the employees kind of thing, a Zoom call with BMSS, which is a large statewide accounting firm. That being said, you know, right now there is every reporting, the Dothan Eagle has an update even just in the last few hours that Mike Durant is still not planning on doing a debate with yourself and Katie Britt. So the GOP, the state GOP, has said that they would sponsor a Senate candidate debate. If Durant is not there, do you and Britt still have the debate? What's going to happen there?
Well, I'm happy to show up with Katie Britt or Mike Durant, and I want to pin their ears back on some of the attacks that they have launched against me, and I want to be able to say, all right, now, we've got the whole state of Alabama watching. Prove it. When you say I'm anti-military or for the Islamic State or for Al-Qaeda or I'm weak on border security, I'm going to state my case, and I want you to show the evidence you've got to disagree. Or when you say that suddenly you're a Donald Trump supporter, well, prove it. What did you do in 2016 or 2020 to help Donald Trump win the presidency against Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton? Prove it. When you say that you were opposed to voter fraud and election theft activity, well, here's my record. What did you do when the fight was fought between November 3rd and January the 6th? Prove it. And I think you're going to discover that Katie Britt is using Mike Durant as a shield. If Mike Durant does not participate in the debate, then Katie Britt is using that as an excuse to not participate in the debate. But the Alabama Republican Party is happy to host a debate with or without Mike Durant that would be broadcast in Mobile, Birmingham, Huntsville, and another medium. And so, heck, Katie, if you're out there listening, let's you and I go toe-to-toe. If you can't handle Mo Brooks, Katie, Mike, then how are you going to handle Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer or the Biden administration, or worse yet, some members of our own party who go rhino on us? You know, you've got to be able to stand up and project your views where the public gets it and the public sides with you, and that kind of pressure that ensues is what gets us moving in the right direction.
Well, Congressman, we'll see whether they answer the call or not. So far, I've not been able to get Katie on the show with me since about last September. And then and Mike Durant's been on several times, so we'll see if his campaign wants to respond. But in the meantime, I'll tell you right now, I've already volunteered to be one of the moderators if the GOP can get you guys on a stage. But that being said, sir, go back and watch that baseball game. Enjoy a beautiful Friday evening with your family, and then get out of the campaign trail again tomorrow, I guess. So you have a great night.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Take care. All right. That's Congressman Mo Brooks. Kelsey, go ahead and take us to the break. Yeah, I tell you what, I think that's about the most passionate that I've heard him to date. But why not? I mean, what do you got to lose? 32 days. That's like in the Army, we say that's 31 in a wake up. You're there. I mean, all in, folks. Every candidate. Mo Brooks, Katie Britt, Mike Durant, Kay Ivey, Lou Burdett, Tim James, Lindy Blanchard, Dale Strong, Casey Wardinsky, Paul Sanford, all of you, all in. You can sleep when it's over. This is the crunch time. Red zone. Get her done. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.